That's what I'm thinking about doing. I see all this candy they always get. Maybe I'll start bringing candy to Sunday school class. Y'all'd be more excited about being here, wouldn't you? You get a prize if you're good at the end of the service. No. Sounds like a bribe, doesn't it? Whatever works. We've been talking about the past few weeks about renewing your mind, and we've been going through all that process, and this will probably be the last one before we start something new. And I'm going to be gone next week, so amen, right? You're so excited. I'm going to preach my dad's homecoming next week, so I get to go back to our home church, Bible Believers Baptist in Thorsby, and preach for them. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I will miss you, but I am looking forward to being able to go and just see some home folks. It's always good to be able to go back to your home people and get to see them and all that good stuff. And I'm looking forward to getting to preach for them. Ricky Atkinson Compassion will be singing. Brother Randy's posted some stuff on Facebook of them. They do a good job, so I'll get to see Ricky and all them. So that'll be nice to kind of catch up with them a little bit also. If you are interested in coming, let me know. I can get you directions. I know it's a long way, so I'm not saying you have to by any means, but if you are interested in coming, let me know. I'll get you the address, and it's about 2 hours to get there, roughly. So it's a good little ride. But it is a good church. Daddy's done a lot of work there. When you think of somebody that's gone through so much stuff, man, he has been through a lot when it comes to church. He started that church at our house, and then they moved it from our house because it got to be a little bit too much, and Mama was like, I can't keep everything clean. So she got a little bit with that, so they moved to a restaurant. They had it in a country kitchen in Clanton. They had a downstairs area down there. They had church there, and the only thing Country Kitchen asked was if they had church there, they had to eat there. So Daddy was all excited about that. So they had church there for a little while, and then they ended up in a little storefront church. And it ain't much, but, I mean, it's a good church. It's a good church, and they've had a lot of good things going on there. Daddy's been there for, I think it's been 14 years now. Is that right? Close? Something like that? 13, something like that. You don't remember either. It's been a long time. So he's done a lot of good stuff there. It's been a lot of people saved out of that church. He's had a lot of preachers been called to preach out of that church, which I think is phenomenal. And he's done a good work there. So I'm looking forward to going back there. And if you are interested in coming there, just let me know. This being our last kind of lesson on this renewing your mind, I'm kind of try to bottle it all together, okay? Kind of put a little ribbon on it and everything. So turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This was our key verse when we first started. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Everybody knows the scripture pretty much. I would say it's very familiar. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've talked about not believing the lie. We've talked about engaging in the war for our minds. And we've talked about identifying strongholds in our life. And we've gone through this process. And if you really want to transform your mind, you have to be able to do these few things. You have to take control of what's going on in your mind. Because if you don't take control of it, you don't allow God to take control of your life, the devil will take control of it. The devil will take control of it, and he will bring these lies up constantly. And he will bring you down to a place that you're not effective as a Christian anymore. And that's the whole point. The devil wants to make you the least effective as possible. If he can do that, then he's won it. He's won. You see, if he can sit there and make you think that you're not a good enough Christian, then you'll think that you can't tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And if you don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ, guess what? They will never know. There are some people, you've heard it all your life, there's some people that only you can reach, right? I truly believe that. There's some people only you can reach. Why? Because you know their situation better than anybody else may know their situation. It may be a close friend. It may be somebody you just come in contact with that you sit there and say, hey, I know what you're going through in your life because I've been there. And they can relate to you. And when that happens, it gives you an open door to be able to share Jesus Christ with them. But if you believe the lies that the devil puts in your mind, guess what? You're not going to do that. You're going to put it off. You're going to say, I can't do that. It'll also make you not understand when it gets to the latter part of that verse, it says, and perfect will of God. Everybody wants to know what the will of God is in their life, right? Everybody talk to you in church. I just want to know what God wants me to do. And I've told you before, a lot of that is just walking through a door. You have to do something to figure out what God wants you to do. And sometimes, you know, he gives you a pretty clear path, but a lot of times you see a bunch of doors and you're saying, which one should I walk through? Walk through one of them. It's okay to walk through a door and guess what? And say, maybe that wasn't for me. You know, maybe it wasn't for you. But it's okay to walk through. You have to accept it and say, I'm going to try something. Because if you don't try anything, guess what you're going to do? You're just going to sit there and do nothing. You'll just be the Christian that comes in here and sits in church and leaves, and you do absolutely nothing past that point. Some of you are able to do a lot of things. Some of you can teach very well. Some of you could probably preach if you'd want to. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to call somebody to preach out of this church. I'm not sure who or when or what, but I'm just praying God calls somebody to preach out of this church. You say, why'd you want that? Because we need more preachers. You realize the preachers are dwindling down? If God called one of those young boys in the back to be a preacher, man, that'd be amazing. If God called one of you older people to be a preacher, you know that'd be amazing, right? And God can still do that. I know you think in your mind, well, I'm too far gone. God's got another plan for me. Guess what? God will call you when you get out of the way. Because that's really what the problem is most of the time. You're standing in the way of letting God actually work in your life and do something. Why? Because you believe in the lies. You can't talk, right? That was always my excuse. That was my main excuse. I cannot public speak. I can't do it. I'm too nervous. I have too much anxiety. There's no way I can do that. What did God do? He took it away. Do I still have anxiety talking in front of people? Yes, I do. Very much so. You know how much it takes out of me to get up and do this? It's the reason why when I get done on Sunday morning, I go over there and I get in that bed with that little four-year-old and take a nap. Because it is just like, whew. But God used me. God used me to be able to sit here and say, you know what, if you're willing to go, if you're willing to preach, I'll give you the opportunities. And He's allowed me to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be able to preach. And I found out over the years it gets a little bit easier. It does get a little bit easier. The first time I liked to die. First time I preached was in Gadsden, Alabama. I'd just taken the job with Gold City. We were going to a little church called Grace. It was Grace Baptist. Grace Baptist in Gadsden, Alabama. It was a little bitty church. And I remember going there, and it was a Wednesday night, and the guy said, you know, you're not here on Sundays and everything. He said, why don't you preach on a Wednesday night? And I was like, oh, boy, I ain't never really done a sermon before. I think I preached about 10 minutes, but I was wide open for 10 minutes. Boy, I was getting it. I preached everything I knew in 10 minutes. Now I can't preach it in 45 minutes. It's amazing. But I remember just being so nervous trying to put things together and trying to sit there and saying, God, I can't do this. I cannot be this kind of person. And I remember God just saying, you know what, you're going to be all right. Just get up there and do it anyway. Sometimes that's what you have to do. You just have to do it anyway. You have to quit believing the lies that the devil's putting in your mind. You're not who he says you are. You're not bound by that. Renewing your mind is not an easy thing to do. It takes work and time. You have to want to change. I truly believe that. You have to want it. It's just kind of like playing a game, or, you know, remember back in high school days when you were playing football or basketball or whatever sport it was you played, and you remember you had to want it. The coaches would come in there and they'd say, they can't do it for you. You have to want it. I remember my football coach telling me that. I remember him getting in my face, grabbing my face mask, shaking my head around like this constantly. You got to block him. You got to stop him. You've got to want it more than he does. And I remember him getting so excited about it. And then eventually it was like, I want it. Because I don't want to keep getting hit. You got to want to change. Different studies say different things. And I looked at some of those last night. Some say it takes 3 weeks to build a habit. And I've heard it can take up to 2 months to build a habit. I think it just depends on who you are, what kind of personality you have, and all that kind of stuff goes into play. You want to build a habit, takes time, right? What would be a really good habit to start as a Christian? Anybody got? Daily Bible reading. Daily prayer. Anything else? Witness. Living the life. That's hard. That's hard. Daily Bible reading is a big one for me. I know I've jumped on that quite a bit, and I think it's something good to jump on. If you want to change your mind, you have to be in the Word of God constantly. That is not easy to do, okay? I am not saying it's easy to do. Just like this, and I say it takes time and it takes work, it does. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. It means you're going to have to put a little bit of effort into it. You might have to get up early to read what you have to read. I truly believe that you ought to start your day off reading something out of the Scripture. I'm not saying reading all your Bible reading that you do for the day. I'm saying you ought to start off your day every single morning reading something out of the Word of God. I'm telling you, it will change the way you view your day. I promise you, it will change you. It will change the way that you view things. Just wake up and read a chapter. I think the good, easy one to do, read Proverbs every single day. There's 31 of them. You can't miss it every single day. It's just laid out simple for you. Ain't that amazing how the Bible is just so simple sometimes? I mean, he basically said, here's 31 days. Go ahead, just read them. Every single day, read a chapter. I think it'd do you good to wake up every morning. Maybe you say, well, I can't read that fast and I get up too late. Read, just pick you a verse and read it. You say, well, that ain't going to do nothing. You'd be amazed at what it'd do. You get you a couple of good verses that you just read every single day. Man, it'd change your life. It would change your mindset on when you go to work. Because all of us have to go to work. And all of us probably don't want to most of the time. You still have to work for Miss Janet, though. Even retired people have to do something. CDs. That's the thing, too. You got to. Sometimes it's good to think outside the box. With technology, everybody gets scared because technology, right? Everybody hates technology. That's awful. No, technology can be good if you use it for the right reasons. You could put on audio Bible reading and just sit there and listen to it read. Maybe you're not a very good reader. Guess what? There's stuff in the Bible I read through, okay? And I'll sit there and go, man, I do not understand how you say that word. There's names in there, and I'm sitting there going, how do they say that name correctly? And you'll go pull up Scorby and listen to him say it about 5 or 6 times, and guess what? You'll know how to say it then. Sometimes it's good just to do that. Scorby. Yeah, ever heard of him? Got a cool voice. Cool voice. Yeah, he's awesome. I don't know if he's on an app, but you can look him up on YouTube. You know what that is? That's where he watches his fishing videos. Now, you can find him on YouTube. I'm sure they have him on apps and stuff. I use Blue Letter Bible a lot. Blue Letter Bible is a really good app to be able to just pull it up on your phone and read it whenever you have time to read it. It'll do some stuff for you where it'll read some stuff back, text back to you, but it sounds like, you know, the lady on the, your little, Siri will talk to you. I can't stand to listen to her, so. Sometimes I think she don't know how to say words right. But there's so many things you can use nowadays to be able to read and hear the Word of God. You just have to take the time to do it and put in the work and the effort. You get a lunch break, why don't you read some then? You say, well, that would consume my time with Bible. Yeah. Shocker, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Instead of consuming your time with YouTube, guess what? You consume it with the Bible. Ain't nothing wrong with watching YouTube videos. It's the problem when you're only watching YouTube videos and you're never reading the Bible. When you're only watching TV, but you're never reading the Bible. That's the problem. All the stuff that you do outside, going hunting and all that stuff, watching sports, that stuff's great. I love it just as much as you do. Trust me. I love hunting. Turkey season is getting real close. And I am real excited about it. Amen. I knew I'd get a couple amens on that. Deer season's not been great for me this year because time has not been on my side. But turkey season, I'm going to make up for it. Because you make time to turkey hunt, amen? But you sit there, all these things are great, but if you put God over here, those things ain't great anymore. You get set up beside a tree early in the morning when it's still dark, why don't you read a little bit? Why don't you listen to something a little bit? You talking about getting along with God, you can get along with God real quick, like when you ain't hearing nothing gobble, so you just sit down, you just going to let it just rest for a little while. You got your little phone right there, you can pull it out, and you just read a little bit. Ain't nobody in the world but you and God. Ain't that an amazing feeling? Some of y'all been there, you know what it's like. You sitting in a tree stand, you ain't got nothing to do. You just sitting there reading a little bit. Boy, God will talk to you right there. That's a good feeling. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's because you're outside in nature. Sometimes I think they ought to take church and put it outside. I know that may sound crazy, but sometimes I think it'd be good if you just had a church outside every once in a while. So y'all say amen enough, one day we're going to do it. Wait till it's not so cold and not so hot, but somewhere in the middle of 67. I'm going to keep off of that one, brother. I ain't got time to explain the joke. We're going to hit it somewhere in the middle, though, when it gets cool enough. We might do that. It's different when you get outside. You start looking at all the things God's done for you, all the things that God's allowed you to see. You just get along with Him a little bit. But it takes some work if you want to change your mindset. You're going to have to put a little bit of effort into it. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." You want to change your mind? Open up the pure Word of God and let it change your mind. You want something pure? You can't get any more pure than this right here. You can read every book, and I love reading some books. I like to get people's ideas on things, and when I put this whole lesson together, I pulled it, some of it, from a book that I had read. And the book was great, but I found out that this did a better job of explaining it. This always does a better job. It doesn't matter what kind of book you read or what kind of person. You can go to every scholar and every doctor and they can tell you all the stuff. It is never going to be better than the Word of God. But yes, it does take effort. You're going to have to determine in your own life at some point in time that, hey, I am going to read the Word of God. I am going to study the Word of God. You're going to have to come to the point where you say, this is more important to me than anything else going on. Telling somebody else about Jesus Christ is more important to me than anything else I got going on. You see, that's what it's all about. I can give you all the thought audits and we can break all that stuff down. We've done some of that. Told you last week to identify the lies and identify the strongholds. Why? Because those are things good to think about. Those are things that you can sit there and you can break down and try to figure out where the problem is. But if you're not willing to get up and read that, you're just going to know a problem and not have any way to fix it. This is how you fix the problems. You want a relationship with Jesus Christ? Get in this. You want to change the way that you think? Get in this. You got a problem going on in your life? Because we all got problems, right? Everybody got a problem. They all different. Some of them are more severe than others. But guess what? They're all important to us, right? Your problem's important to you, whether it's important to anybody else. So how are you going to handle the problem when it comes? Are you going to be able to sit there and say, you never leave me and you never forsake me? You going to be able to say that? You're going to be able to say, I'm going to think myself happy like Paul did when he was talking to King Agrippa. Are you going to sit there and think about, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins when I didn't deserve it? I reckon I can just live for Him anyway. You see, your mindset has to change and get on the things of God, not on the things of this world. You got to think on these things. Think on being pure. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to have a pure mind anymore. Everybody's really corrupt nowadays. Amen. And society has changed so much. I was talking to somebody at the grocery store the other day, and I hate them blasted things where you have to scan your own groceries and stuff. Man, I hate them things. I know you can get out faster and all that kind of stuff, but it's like, maybe you ought to pay me if I have to do my own groceries. Like, I just don't get it. But I get aggravated because every time, what ends up happening? You get your little vegetables together and whatever you're going to have, and then you try to scan them, and then you got to find barcodes and all this garbage. I hate it. I can't stand it. But I was talking to this lady, and I was like, you know, used to people would actually, you know, go up to somebody and they talk to somebody, and you'd have them do all this, and you'd have a conversation. And nowadays, everything's just, don't talk to me. Even at the grocery store, you don't talk to anybody anymore. You've gotten in this world where we don't call anybody anymore, you text them, right? And I'm thankful for text, okay? I like it. It's easy to be able to just send a text. When you're deer hunting, it's good to send a text. I was checking on Miss Michelle, she was hunting, so I was like, oh, the text, that worked better. It's nice to be able to do that. When I'm at work and my wife needs something, she can text me. But we've gotten away from being able to communicate with anybody. But your mind is programmed to just stay away from people. Your mind is programmed to say, I don't want to have any interaction with anybody. Do you think that might be for a purpose? If you're not used to communicating with people, guess what? You probably aren't going to go tell them about Jesus Christ either. It's kind of hard to text that. It's not really effective. You actually have to have a conversation with somebody. You actually have to ask them. I think you have to think about things that are true. It says whatsoever things are true. Truth, man, is something that's going away in this day and age. We have truth because we hold an inspired, infallible, and errant word of God. That's the truth. Everything in it's true. It isn't wrong in any shape, form, or fashion. You can't find one thing wrong in it. It's just the Word of God. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you have a final authority or you don't. You only get two options. If you want truth, you better believe it. If you don't, you're going to go against God. What you're going to do? I don't know any other better way to put it. You're going to go against God. He said to be think on the things that are true. Think on things that are honest. People just aren't honest anymore, are they? People aren't honest anymore. They'd rather tell you a lie any day. And that one's tough, too, because you sit back and I think about in this day and age, where I work, we have this thing where taking extreme ownership is a big thing to my boss. He says that all the time. I've read a book on extreme ownership that a military guy put out. That's his whole thing. He wants you to take ownership of the situation that you're in. And when it kind of falls apart, guess what? It falls on the managers and it falls on the owners and it falls on all these. You take ownership in the situation. But nowadays, when you have all these young guys come into work, guess what? Nobody was ever the problem. Just for an example, we had 1,000 8x12 aluminum signs. We printed them. They were supposed to all be overlammed. So laminate was supposed to go on top of them, make some gloss look real pretty, not get as damaged as much. Well, guess what? We didn't laminate them. Yeah, that's what I said. And this was in the middle of the time we were getting ready to move, so me and Johnny, who are the managers, were not in the building very much. So we were outside of the building. So it's hard for us to catch things if you're not there. But we tell them, look at the system. You follow the computer system, and it tells you everything to do. It says, gloss over lam on it, drill easy. And they just missed it. They marked it off like they did it, never did it. And you sit back and you go, well, then who did it? Nobody did it. I had 1,000 aluminum signs that nobody touched. And there was only like 4 of them that could have worked on it. But nobody did it. That's how you live your life, right? You don't take ownership for anything. You can't be the problem. Most of the time I found out I am the problem. Truthfully, I am the problem. And it's hard for me to admit a lot of times because I don't want to admit that I am the problem. My wife's like, hallelujah, he's admitting it. You don't ever want to admit that you're the problem. You always want to make it somebody else's problem. I couldn't do this because of this. I couldn't do this because of this situation. You don't understand. I'm dealing with this or what. It doesn't matter. Take ownership of it. Realize that you could be the problem. It could be you. Not in every situation, but it could be you. Take ownership of things. Be truthful. You're not controlled by fear. You're not stuck. You're not a slave to your habits. You're not a prisoner to your addictions. You're not a victim. You're not failing. You're not unlikable. You're not unworthy of love. You're not your past. But some people can't get off that one, can they? Want to live in that past all the time. You're not what someone else did to you. You're not who others say you are. You're not who your unhealthy thoughts say you are. You are not done. I read that in a book and I thought that was really good. You are not done. You're just getting started. You want to live for God? Start right now. Change your mindset now. You are who God says you are. And because of Christ, you are loved, you're forgiven, you're healed, you're new, you're redeemed, you're free, you're blessed, you're strong and mighty. Let the truth about you trickle in and let it transform you. God is with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God is for you. I don't know why we get to that point in our lives where we think God doesn't care about us, but God always cares about you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. I think He cares for you just a little bit. He'll fight for you. Isaiah 54 and verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." No weapon. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to bring up. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. Guess what? God has equipped you to be able to handle it. That's why He gave you all those different defensive weapons, right? You can put on those different things. Why? Because God's equipped you for it. And then He gives you the sword to be able to fight back. Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He is more than enough. Let God change your thinking, and He will change your life." If you let God, if you allow God to change the way that you think, your life, I promise, will change. It has to. It has to. If you're dealing with a bunch of stuff, and I know people call them demons in your mind and all this stuff, I don't believe that a saved person can have demons, okay? You make your own. God ain't going to let the devil indwell in you like that. Ain't nothing biblical about that. Demons can't live in you. You're saved. There's only room for one. That's God. But you'll create some in your mind. And it's you. The devil bring up that past and he'll sit there and say, "Yeah, but you're not good enough because of this." It don't matter about your past. He says He cast him as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. Never. Do you believe what the Bible says, or do you just read through it and act like you do? You say, I just believe it. When it says it, I go with it. I know that's a shocker, right? Most people don't do that anymore. If it says it, I'm just going to say, okay, fine. You died on the cross for my sins? Good. I'm going with it. You said you'd never leave me and forsake me. Guess what? I believe you won't. Sometimes it feels like you have, but guess what? Apparently you haven't. If you said you took my sins, you cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again, guess what? I ain't worried about the past anymore then. You took care of it, so I reckon I'll just let you have it then. You wanted it, God, you can have it. I just believe what it says. Whatever it says, it's just truth. I tell you it's my final authority, and that's because I believe that it is. It's my final authority. It's my everything. When I get up and read it every single morning, it's because I believe that it will change my life. I believe that it'll make me a better person and a better Christian. It'll make me more faithful in the things that I'm not faithful. It'll change you. It doesn't matter how bad the situation gets, it will change you. But you have to allow it to do so. If you don't allow it to change your life, you'll keep believing the lie. And nothing will ever change. I hope that you got something out of the study the past few weeks. And we'll probably hit on it again one day. It seems like things just come back around anyway. You know how it is. Sometimes we were talking the other day, me and a couple of guys, preachers, were saying, "You feel like you preach the same thing over and over and over again." I said, "Yeah." And I said, "And you feel like you're preaching the same thing that the last preacher preached and the last preacher preached." Guess what? There ain't nothing new under the sun. That is what you do. You preach the same thing over and over and over again. They say you ought not preach salvation so much. Guess what? That's the most important thing you can preach. And you ought to get excited about it every time somebody preaches about it too. We always preach the same stuff over and over and over again. Why? Because it's good to hear it. It's good to get a different view from it. I think you can honestly pick out one scripture, preach the thing till eternity comes back, and you couldn't exhaust it. That's how much I believe it's a living book. I believe you could just pick one and just preach it and preach it and preach it, and you still couldn't exhaust it because it's that good. Let God change your life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Tim, close us up.